Jesus had a way about him. As we've heard, as we've known, Jesus was loving and kind. Jesus was empowering. Jesus was imaginative. He opened up stories to invite us into this reality that he called the kingdom of God. Or as the gospel according to Matthew often says, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had a way about him. And in fact, Jesus had such a way about him. He was so loving and so kind and so empowering and so imaginative that he often shook things up. He often turned them on their head. Here in this story today, we have one more example of Jesus doing just that. When it comes to our day-to-day framework, this story may not make a lot of sense. Likely, when it came to the day-to-day framework of the people who lived among Jesus, this didn't make a lot of sense either. But in the kingdom of heaven, it does. Jesus begins the story by saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. Jesus was always coming up with these stories and opening them up about this kingdom, this other realm. This reality that God calls us to, and indeed what God is bringing into the world, perhaps beyond what we might expect. And the story ends with a particular phrase. It seems like this is where it has been headed all along. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This was a phrase Jesus said a lot. And in fact, it was often the conclusion to a variety of parables he spoke. These stories, these analogies that he brought before the people. In fact, maybe later today, here's an invitation for when you get home. Just open the Bible to one of the first three Gospels and flip through it to see how many parables of Jesus end with this phrase. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. In this parable, and in these parables, and in these teachings, Jesus seems to believe in a holy leveling, in a sacred process by which all our hierarchies break down. That in the kingdom of God, those who have been pushed aside, those who have been cast out as outsiders or scapegoats are absolutely beloved. And that they will be brought into the center in a way that transforms all of us. In such a holy leveling, we all learn grace. In such a holy leveling, we all belong. In such a holy leveling, all people have what they need to live. This is central to the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. And in believing these convictions and teaching them to the people, and by extension us, Jesus was very much in line with the prophets of the Hebrew Bible. The portion of the Bible that we often call the Old Testament. Maybe you remember a famous text from the book of Isaiah, a text that shows up in a prominent place in Handel's Messiah, where the tenor soloist sings, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." This too is a holy leveling. It may not make sense to us, and it may not resonate with the way our world is structured or how it works, but this is something central to who God is and how God loves and how God calls us to live and love. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So let's enter this story of Jesus and see how he gets to this moment, this phrase, this holy leveling. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. This was probably a part of a daily routine, a rhythm. And so when the landowner found the laborers, the landowner agreed with them for the usual daily wage. And so he sent them to do the work. This is all very normal, very typical. But he went out again around 9 o'clock. And we can't be sure what he was doing. Was he looking for more workers? Or was he running some errand? Whatever he was doing, he did find more potential workers. He saw them standing idle in the marketplace. And so he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard. I will pay you whatever was right." They probably expected a portion of the day's wage, and so they went, and they joined. But then, the landowner went out again at noon, at 3 o'clock, and he kept bringing in more and more people who had been left on the outside. And then, about 5 o'clock, he went out and he found others still standing there. And he asked them a question. We can't really know what his tone was. Was it pointed? "Why are you standing here idle all day?" Or was it compassionate? "Why are you standing here idle all day?" Well, they said something to him that is kind of gripping. They said, "Because no one has hired us." They had been left behind, though they wanted to work, though they wanted to participate, though they wanted to have what they needed, but no one hired them. For those of you who were here last week, you'll remember I preached on a text where Jesus shows up in his home synagogue in Nazareth, and he reads another passage from the prophets, Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor." And that word, the poor, actually means those who have been made poor. Those who have been affected by the social realities, the social climate, the laws, and the hierarchies. Those who have been left behind in belonging and in having what they need. I wonder if this was true of these last laborers. If they were people who had been made poor. Well, the landowner does have compassion, and he says, "You also go into the vineyard." They were there for only 1 hour. They probably expected a pittance in response, but it was better than nothing. And so when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, "Call all the laborers and give them their pay. Begin with the last, that is, those who had been left behind and made poor. Begin with them, and then go to the first." So those who had been hired at 5 o'clock came, and certainly, to their absolute surprise, they received the full daily wage. Then, as far as that line went back, the expectations shifted. Those who were toward the end of the line expected more and more because they saw how remarkably generous the landowner was. And yet when they emerged, they received the usual daily wage. And they were disappointed because their expectations had changed. But the landowner reminded them of the original expectations and said, "Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go." And here's something for us to notice. The landowner says, "I choose to give to this last as I give to you." The landowner was choosing to participate in a holy leveling. After all, if he had increased the wages of the first workers, he would have left the last workers in the same social relationship to those first workers, just as they had been before. Left out, at least relatively speaking, and behind. The landowner says, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" The generosity of the landowner. The generosity of God. And of course, here's that conclusion of Jesus. After asking this question, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Then Jesus says, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." God is in this business, this way of being generous. The God we come here to worship and the God who calls us into a new way of life is a God of a holy leveling. And this God calls us to be proclaimers of the same, to be participants in the same. And so a question for you and me that I will ask twice, like that question we found in the story, is it pointed or compassionate or both? This question. Does it offend us? Does it outrage us that God would be so generous and call us to a holy leveling? If so, why? Perhaps that needs to be a pointed question. Why does it offend us when people who have been made poor long for what they need and ask for what they need? Why does it offend us that God looks at every person who has been labeled an outsider and says, "You are beloved. Come inside"? Do we really believe it's all about meritocracy? What if God is so generous, in fact, that you and I will have to grapple with the truth that all we have, everything, is a gift from God, and that God longs for us to be generous in relation to others? Perhaps those are necessarily pointed questions. But we can ask this compassionately too. Does it offend us? Does it outrage us that God would be so generous and call us to a holy leveling? If so, why? Because it does not have to be that way. God has gifted us with grace. God is always gifting us with grace. And God brings us into a holy leveling so that we can see it is offered to all. This widens the circle of grace and belonging and people having what they need. And so those questions sit with us just like they did when Jesus spoke this parable to others. This story might not make sense in the day-to-day reality we often live, but in fact, it is the reality into which we are called to live. Are we ready to experience the generosity of God? To proclaim it? To participate in it? To include others? Not on our terms, but on God's, where the holy leveling is alive. If so, May we know this calling, and may it find us ready to act and live and love. May it find us ready. Amen.